Well, thank you for having me this morning.
And I know you're near time of sabbatical.
And you've got all sorts of speakers, and I'm very privileged, considering Roger Standing has been here, I believe, quite a few times, my goodness. He took over as principal for a little while I was at Spurgeon's as well, so I didn't realise he was connected, obviously, hasn't he, to Burwell. He's got family, I think, here. So,
Anyway, thanks for having me. Just want to send our love from King's Church, Mildenhall, as we're known for a while now. I know, that's right, no, Mildenhall Baptist used to be for many, many years. And
also from David Quinn.
Remember David Quinn? He was obviously minister at West Row, and then he worked for Asia Link for many years. He's actually sort of pretty much retired now, still got his hand in a few bits, but he's actually part of our fellowship, and it's a real privilege for us as well at Mildenhall to have him in the team there.
So I don't want to say too much. I want to encourage you, though. I won't talk too much. Good morning to those on the video. Very impressive on your website.
I see everything uploaded. Do encourage you. Mildenhall Baptist, as it was, I mean, in the early 70s, that was a church that there was eight people in it. And the old chapel they had there was condemned. And pretty much they were going to close. That was it. This is early 70, late 69 or something. And they just got a sense, a couple of them just got a sense that God wanted to do something more with them, that it wasn't finished. So they actually flattened the building and put a new Baptist box up, as I call it. Multi-purpose, actually. It's great because it's a multi-purpose, bit more multi-purpose building, just an early 70s build. They didn't have the money at the time. They just stepped out in faith. Now, since then, the church, as all churches, those of you who've been here many years, go up and down in the amount of people and the things that are happening. There's quiet times, there's loud times, there's challenging times, and there's real times of blessing. Mildenhall, yeah, we've been in a time real of blessing over these years, and we've seen a whole load of stuff. The Lord just open up, even though we didn't have the money. The Lord has provided. We didn't even have a manse, okay? I know you've had a manse for many years, but it opened up a manse, opened up a building up the road that we call King's House, and some of your leadership team have been across to use that, which is great. It's a mixed building. It was sort of had commercial stuff in it for a while, and then eventually they've sort of left. We've still got a tanning shop, as the leaders found. And it's quite noisy there sometimes in King's House. But it's used. Part of the challenge that when I started working for the church, 11, 12 years ago now, was to set up a food bank, and that runs from this building. And we see quite a lot of different ministries now. A debt counselling ministry called CMA. And loads of other things God has opened up. And our challenge actually at the moment, and do pray for us for a number of years, we have a very blessed challenge, and that is facilities. We don't have the facilities to actually do what we want to do. We're quite landlocked in Mildenhall. We don't have parking or anything. We don't even have a green bit of space for children to play on or anything like that. So we've been praying for a number of years, looked at lots of different properties, nothing seemed right at the moment. So I just want to encourage you, you never know what stage of church life, but God always has a plan. And it may look different, though, to what you think. That's the only thing I would say. And this is kind of a little bit the message that I've got today. I want to read from Exodus chapter 14. So a bit of Old Testament for you. Now, I know we've had a few folks speak from the New Testament. A bit of Old Testament. A well-known part of the Old Testament for you this morning. So Exodus 14, and I've just tried to narrow it down to verses 5 to 28. So sit back, relax. I'll remind you of the story of where we are with Moses and the Israelites. So verse 5. Oh, it's up there. That's great. When the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their minds about them and said, "What have we done? We've let the Israelites go. We've lost their services." So he had his chariot made ready and took his army with him. He took 600 of the best chariots along with the other chariots of Egypt, with officers over all of them. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, so that he pursued the Israelites who were marching out boldly. The Egyptians, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots, horsemen and troops, pursued the Israelites and overtook them as they camped by the sea near Pi Hahiroth, opposite Baal Zephon. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and they cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there are no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians'? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert." Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You will need only to be still." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff, stretch your hand over the sea to divide the water, so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, so they will go in after them, and I will gain glory through Pharaoh and all his army, through his chariots and his horsemen. The Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I gain glory through Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen." Then the angel of God, who had been traveling in front of Israel's army, withdrew and went behind them. The pillar of cloud also moved from in front and stood behind them, coming between the armies of Egypt and Israel. Throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to the one side and light to the other side, so neither went near the other all night long. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it to dry land. The waters were divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. The Egyptians pursued them, and all Pharaoh's horses and chariots and horsemen followed them into the sea. During the last watch of the night, the Lord looked down from the pillar of fire and cloud at the Egyptian army and threw it into confusion. He jammed the wheels of their chariots so they had difficulty driving. And the Egyptians said, "Let's get away from the Israelites. The Lord is fighting for them against Egypt." And the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea so the waters may flow back over the Egyptians and their chariots and horsemen." Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at daybreak the sea went back to its place. The Egyptians were fleeing towards it, and the Lord swept them into the sea. The water flowed back and covered the chariots and horsemen. The entire army of Pharaoh that had followed the Israelites into the sea, not one of them survived.
Amen. Amen. Ever found yourself at a dead end? Ever found yourself trapped physically? Even ever found yourself trapped mentally or spiritually even?
Have you driven down a road? I drove around not long ago. Sign right across it, road closed. You have to stop, you have to go around, and you have to find another way. I had to find another way.
What about, I remember being locked. Ever been in the back of a car when someone's left the child locks on?
You sit there and you're getting out there and they're looking at you, go, "Oh, what? The child locks on, let me out."
You have to wait for someone to open the handle. About a turnstile even, I was down in London not so long ago, trying to catch a train, weren't we? And my pass didn't work on the turnstiles, and there was loads of people. The train was just about to leave, and I couldn't get through. Everyone's looking at me, and I had to get help and eventually go through another turnstile.
And also sometimes, I don't know about you, but my brain gets into various loops that are not always as healthy. Perhaps not what God would want me thinking, or the way he would want me thinking. I become trapped sometimes.
Also, sometimes the way we're brought up creates in us a way, patterns that we think on. Our experiences in life, don't they, often determine sometimes how we act in situations. What about church? How are you feeling at the moment? You feeling you're not going anywhere? Nothing we try seems to take off? You might not feel that, but I'm applying this to me as well and our church. Are you seeking to let your light shine, but the lid keeps being put back on? You might be able to identify with this, some aspects of this passage today, with the people of God, the Israelites. We are here. They had been, remind you of the backstory, they've been prisoners for 400 years.
Obviously through generations in Egypt from the time of Joseph.
And Moses had recently been raised up to be the God's leader. He'd spent, remember, 40 years in the desert after running away, after he killed that Egyptian.
And he was being prepared for this moment. We have just had, if you read the passage before, the 10 plagues on Egypt, with Pharaoh continuing to not let the people go until the final plague, the angel of death, passed over and the firstborn males died. I wasn't going to focus on that passage, but this next bit. But in that passage, we see God. What was God doing there? What he was doing was preparing the identity of his people. And also, he was starting to show his portfolio, who he was, who God was, the real I am.
And he was taking on one of the Egyptian gods at a time and proving that he is the only
true God.
So often, don't we? We make our own gods often, especially in our cultures today. We like to be our gods ourselves almost. Well, finally, Pharaoh let them go and off they went. And God leads them using a pillar of cloud and off they go and end up near the Red Sea.
Wow, they're free at last. Free at last.
They've just seen God work in miraculous ways. This must have been amazing, wasn't it? How often have you seen
God do amazing things?
Now, several of you have testimonies here, experience of many years here, of seeing God do some amazing things. I know, Nick, you were sharing your testimony the other week, and how God has broken through, how we've seen amazing things happen. But life isn't always as simple as we like to make out, as we would like to. Things aren't always black and white, particularly when it comes to, our feelings. These people were free. They were off to a land of milk and honey. But they'd also become institutionalized. They didn't really know their God. They didn't have a real concept of who they were really dealing with. And also that their identity as well as children of God. They didn't get that at all.
I don't know, does that ring some bells with us today? Christ has done the miraculous for us. Made a way where there was no way. We've seen over years testimony.
We are the called out ones. The ones that have responded.
Well, most of us have, any, to the call of Jesus.
Our identity has been remade in him.
In Jesus.
Where are we with this today?
Are we living in that freedom under Christ?
Or have we become institutionalized, perhaps?
Now, as a freed Israelite, I'll just put myself in their place.
How would I have felt
at that time?
I don't know, coming out.
You know, I've seen some amazing stuff. I'm now free. I've got some stuff because, the Egyptians just loaded them up. So get out of here, basically. Off you go. Here's stuff. Just take it.
Go. But how would we survive?
I think I would be starting to think of how am I going to survive? Where am I going to eat? Where am I going to get drink? What about security?
I've had that for years. Now I haven't got it anymore.
What am I going to do?
And you see a thread of this thinking, actually, through Scripture, through the Israelites.
You read the Old Testament. You see that time and time again, them coming to that place.
I wonder if we might be in that place again. I know at King's Church Milne we are. In that we've got lots going on, absolutely. We're blessed in many ways. But that also, since COVID, we've been thinking, God, what are you going to do? What's next? Where are we going to go with this? Okay. What are you going to do about it? And possibly, I'm afraid, Lord, sometimes. Also, when we pray those prayers, actually.
We are in an amazing position as Christians. Amazing position. how God feels about us, enough to send Jesus for us to die. By sending his Holy Spirit, only a few weeks ago we were celebrating, weren't we, Pentecost. We have that freedom and spirit. What are we doing with it? Are we often to be found worrying about the next thing, about life, about provision, about direction? Are we finding ourselves in that place that are difficult, even impossible? Some of you have been. You might be right now. I don't know. A whole load of you, actually. I don't know very well. I don't know what you might be facing. Yeah, we're Christians. Surely God doesn't lead us to difficult places or places that look like dead ends, does he? Well, we see here God directing the people to the edge of the sea. Now, it's not a really good move in human strategy. It's actually a very poor move. It says in the scriptures that actually God didn't send them up. He could have sent them to the promised land by the way of the Philistines, right round the coast, a lot quicker. Not all this desert wandering business. But he didn't. He directed them down. And now they're sitting next to the Red Sea. It's crazy.
Crazy.
And they have become trapped. Pharaoh's army was right on them. Hundreds and hundreds, 600 war chariots, let alone all the others. I mean, it was huge. Huge. We're talking about masses of people. Obviously, the Israelites, probably over a million of them. This is a massive thing going on here. But remember, we're not dealing with human strategy, are we? Yet so often, we slip back into that. This is God's strategy. What did the people do when they saw the army coming? They were terrified, like I would be too. And they started saying things like, was it because there was no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say, leave us in Egypt, leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians? It would have been better for us than for us to die in the desert. Really? Really? Are you kidding, saying that? I mean, they've just seen all these plagues and miracles. They've got clouds here. They've got presence. And yet they're saying this sort of stuff. Or is it because they're scared? And actually, when we're scared, we'll pretty much say and do anything. I don't know if you've been in that place. Or nothing. We become frozen sometimes. I wonder sometimes when we're crying out to God, looking for a direction, asking him perhaps why things have happened. Why things didn't happen like we wanted to. Not developing as we want them to. I wonder if God might be saying something to us today through this passage. I didn't know what to speak on today. I'm not always gifted with loads and loads of things to speak on. And I didn't know why this passage, to be honest. And I haven't got lots of bullet points. So I'm just sharing my heart and what came up. That's all. I wonder if he is saying to me as well, I've freed you as a Christian. Yet you become stuck in your ways, Tim. You've been stuck in your thinking. Have you become stuck in a place of seeming safety? I say seeming safety because we don't know how long we're here for, do we? And we might see death as not safe. That's the ultimate unsafety. Perhaps the COVID pandemic has taught us something and wakened us a bit more to how fragile we are. The only safe place is next to Jesus. And it's that lovely picture of him walking on the water, remember in Scripture and in the New Testament, one of those amazing miracles, walking on water, and Peter says, you know, I want to come out the boat to you. You know, Peter's got it. The safest place was next to Jesus on the walking on the water. That's the safest place. The boat wasn't safe. It could have sunk any time. That was the safest place. And it's the safest place for us too. But so often our minds don't go there. Mine doesn't anyway. Mine wants to work it all out. Have backup plans. Is God saying something to me today or to you? Saying to me, I think, stop moaning, Tim. Stop moaning about what you're doing. Stop being frustrated or overcome with fear. Do you not believe? Do you not remember who I am? I am who I am. Yahweh. I'm God. Do you not know me yet?
I can see Jesus going, oh my goodness, come on. Come on. How long does it take? Today, church, is God saying something to you about where you are, about what you're about what you think and how you think? Is he wanting to bring a fresh picture today of what church is and what it should be? Does God want to grab our attention and say, stop thinking in our institutional way, your old ways? You don't know what I've got for you. You just got to trust me. You just got to trust me. And it might look completely different to what you think. Now, I'm back with Moses now. Moses got there. He was this, you know, the leader here, and he got this all in his face. Now imagine that, over a million people moaning. I mean, I struggle one or two, but he's amazing. What does he say? He says, do not be afraid, stand firm, and you will see the deliverance of the Lord will bring you today. The Lord will fight for you. You only need to be still. I've often thought about Moses doing this in this sort of lovely, encouraging way. He's there, everybody. You know, it's all right. It's all right. You know, just be still. Okay. Now, apparently the Hebrew is a little bit more, possibly could be interpreted a little bit more harsher. Actually, it could be something saying, and I'll put a bit more, be quiet. It also might be translated as shut up. And watch. Now, we don't usually use those sort of words, shut up, do we? You know, unless we're a bit agitated. And even when I was in teaching, we were taught not to say, you wouldn't say shut up to a child. Okay, you'd use the positive, be quiet, or please stop talking. Or actually direct it, take the positive. Can you please do this? Or can you please do that? Can you get on with your writing or whatever? We see here Moses again. Perhaps he's not mega calm. Perhaps he's actually normal, like a human being is. Perhaps he's absolutely fed up. And he doesn't know what's going to happen either, necessarily. God might have only told him that second before what is going to happen. He's one of the people too. Now, being a minister is a strange job. Strange job. It's the strangest job I've ever had. Now, everyone has various expectations of you. And what you should be. I have various expectations of myself that I don't live up to half the time either. I don't know your relationship with Chris and Liz. They've been here quite a few since 15, is it? Chris came, so 5, 6, 7, I did my maths, 8 years now. Oh yeah, that's why he's having a sabbatical, isn't it? Of course. I hope you have a great relationship with Chris. I know I've met him a few times. We've spent a little bit of time together. Remember, he's only human. Just checking, okay? As far as I know him, he's a real, way more intelligent than I am. Very intelligent guy. And I've enjoyed my time. I know Lynn a little bit, but not as well. And I pray that this time, yeah, you'd really, it's great prayer, you pray for him to be refreshed. It's an odd job, ministry. It's challenging. You're never really free. I don't feel, there's always something happening sometimes. You don't always feel that free. I have to go abroad, really, to feel as though I've actually got a break, honestly, from it. And I'm just the associate pastor. I'm not, you know, I've got Carl, we call him the lead pastor. There's myself as the associate pastor, and we have a guy called Peter Finnish, who's our sort of lay pastor as well, who does more of the pastoral sort of support, which is great. I'm really privileged to be in a team. It's quite lonely as a sole pastor. I've done it, but it's quite lonely being on your own often. I know you've got your wife and stuff, but I'm in a privileged position, and it's still, yeah, and it's still a strange job. Anyway, remember, we're all called to be ministers. I know he's paid and he's set aside, and he's not God. I'm sure you know that already. We're all under shepherds. We're all ambassadors for Christ. And I just feel for Moses, really, in this situation. But I love the words next. You know, I can imagine Moses just saying, just shut up and watch. And then the next words he says, and the Lord says to Moses, why are you crying out to me? What's going on? Tell the people to move on. Just move.
You get this in some arguments sometimes, don't you? You have arguments, you have this same old argument come up again and again. Sometimes you go round on these loops. And you know, one of you ends up saying, just move on. We've heard it all before. Thank you. Just move on with it.
Move on. Get on with something else.
Pick up your feet, put one in front of the other and get on.
Moses explains what Yahweh is going to do. We know the story, don't we? We read it. Moses lifted his staff. The wind blew. The sea parted. The Israelites rushed through. The Egyptians followed. They began to flounder. A horrible realization came across the Egyptian. The Lord is fighting against Egypt. Pretty horrible if you're a soldier. Chaos broke out as they got stuck.
The walls of the sea rushed back.
And they were drowned, just like they did to the babies of the Israelites. Now, God isn't into retribution and stuff like that. But as he read that the other day, I thought, I never thought about that, actually. Only years before,
those soldiers were drowning the babies of the Israelites.
This is a pretty grim story in the end, but scripture is, and actually, because it's real life stuff. It's typical human stuff that, you know, we only have to turn on our news every day to see plenty of grim stuff, don't we, in this world. So thank God that he's done something about it. Through Christ, there's some hope and a way forward. This is amazing. And the army was wiped out. None of the Israelites were killed. There was no battle. They were truly free. God had taken them through a way they could not even imagined. Could not have imagined. God had dealt with the whole Egyptian army without the loss of one Israelite. And there's an amazing bit of Jewish history here, Leanne, and biblical history. I'd love to, in some respects, I'd love to have been there and seen, you know, the actual geology and of it all. You know, big winds and tsunami type thing coming back. But it's horrendous, really. All these, you know, soldiers being killed as well. It's horrendous. Now, this story isn't just a story of God doing the unexpected. It's not just God delivering his people from slavery. In fact, one commentator said I shouldn't be speaking on this passage a bit like using it for this. This is more than this. It's a theme of salvation, absolutely, through water. It's the theme of the start of a new people. It's a foundation event. You talk to any Jew of Israel. Now, these themes, of course, run through Scripture. And part of us today, aren't they? And you see actually the Israelites often in tricky situations of their making usually and their sinful ways. And God has to remind them time and time again who he is and saying, follow me. It's a picture of what Christ has done for us. He came to us in our mess through water. He came a king like no other. Healing the sick, showing us what a perfect Israelite was, what a perfect Adam was, and then dying on a cross. That's a bit unexpected. Certainly those all around them at the time was not on their bucket list of what a Messiah should be at all. And I don't think we would have necessarily seen even the disciples who were told this is what's going to happen, straight over their heads. It wasn't until afterwards. And he had to show him his hands. And look, there I am. There's my side. Woo. Woo. Not what was expected. What a beautiful picture this could be. Sign of baptism going through the waters. Perhaps it's a sign as well to us as church. Today. Internationally. As such. The Israelites often saw water as chaos. They were scared of the water. Often in scripture you'll see that related. That sort of theme. Had monsters in and stuff. They don't like it. And they had this chaos on either side. The waters on either side, yet they've got a way through. That's where we are as church in some respects. Christ has made a way through those chaos. Where are we in it? Are we pressing on? Are we pressing on? One day, thankfully, there is a promised land at the other end when it's all going to be sorted out, which is fantastic. But we're not there yet, church. We're not there. God is in the business of saving more and more until he calls it time. Do we need reminding? God knows where we're going, even if we don't. that we need to stop moaning at him and get on and move. Even in perhaps a direction that we hadn't thought. Are you ready, perhaps God is saying too, for me to do that? At King's Church, we've been talking about building facilities for years, but actually, it's going to be a real shock if the Lord does open something up. To actually leave the building, even though, yeah, it was rebuilt in the 70s, for some of us to leave that building, not me, I'm not, but one of the older generation, it's going to be a heck of a shock, even though they might be up for it. I don't know your situation, but it will be different perhaps. But are we ready? I'll leave with the words from 1 Peter. That's enough of me. 1 Peter chapter 5, 6 to 11. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he does care for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls round like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering. And the God of all grace, who called you to this eternal glory in Christ, after you've suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen.